Hi, I'm Dr. Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman, and you are listening to audio from my video forecast. So when I reference something to look at or to watch, if you want to see it, just visit my YouTube channel or check it out at spaceweatherwoman.com. And now, here is your forecast. We have a partially Earth-directed solar storm that looks like it could graze Earth to the south, and some corona holes could bring us some fast solar wind as a chaser. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is definitely keeping us on our toes. As we take a look at our Earth-facing sun, you can see lots of bright regions in the southern hemisphere, and this is good news for amateur radio operators and emergency responders because these regions are boosting that solar flux and keeping radio propagation in the marginal range on Earth's day side. And it looks like those conditions will continue for at least this rest of this week. The nice thing is, though, that these regions are not flare active, so we don't have to worry about big radio bursts bothering radio communications on Earth's day side. Now, as we also take a look, you can see several finger-like coronal holes. These coronal holes are going to be bringing us some fast solar wind. We've got one pocket that's going to be over the next couple days, and then we're going to wait a little bit, and we're going to get another pocket from that crescent-like shaped coronal hole that should be bringing us some fast solar wind, probably around the latter half of the first week of December, and this could bring aurora possibly down to mid-latitudes for a short period of time. And then there's one other cool thing is that on the 29th, whoosh, do you see that? That was a solar storm that was launched. Now, this solar storm is actually launched to the south of us, and you can see that in the coronagraph images. You can see this almost partial halo that goes to the south, but this solar storm looks like it might actually have its northern tip graze Earth sometime around late on the 2nd or into the 3rd, and we'll definitely talk more about that in a minute. Meanwhile, as we go and take a look at our far-sighted sun, this is Stereo A, and it's looking at the sun just a little bit from the side. You can see that big finger-like crescent coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth's strike zone here over the next, you know, week or so, and that's going to be the fast wind chaser for that solar storm. And then if we take a look behind it, we see a little bit of activity both in the north and in the south, and these are new bright regions, likely going to be reasonably quiet, and probably not big flare players, but they will continue to boost that solar flux, so radio propagation should remain pretty good on Earth's day side. Switching to our prediction model, ENLIL. Now, this is NASA's version of the model, and you're looking down at the sun from the North Pole with Earth being off to the right. And as you take a look, you can see that solar storm being launched. You can tell it's not a super strong storm. As a matter of fact, as we step off and you can actually see the north-south cut, you can see that the storm is actually moving off to the south. Just the northern tip of it is going to graze Earth. But remember, we also have that coronal hole with that fast solar wind, and that could actually push this storm even further south, so it might actually miss Earth completely. But nonetheless, if it actually does graze Earth, it should happen sometime afternoon on the 2nd and possibly into the 3rd. But we're not expecting a big disturbance. But if you are an aurora photographer and you're dedicated and you want to take a chance, well, we do have a possibility for aurora. Switching to NOAA's version of the model, the top panel's density, the bottom panel's velocity. Again, we're looking down at the sun from the North Pole with Earth off to the right, and you can see that solar storm coming out. Looks a lot more wispy in NOAA's version of the model, but again, as we step back, you can see the reason why is we've got most of that solar storm going south of us. But in NOAA's version, it looks like the impact is going to be late on, or about midday on the 3rd and into the 4th. So we do have a bit of a discrepancy here. So anytime we've got from basically the midday on the 2nd in through the 4th, we could be seeing some enhanced storming, especially at high latitudes with a fast wind. Boy, that could give us a decent chance for aurora, even a skosh of a chance down at mid-latitudes. Switching to our moon, we are now passing through the third quarter phase on our way to a new moon, with the new moon being on the 4th. So, Unite Sky Watchers, if you want to catch those dim objects in the sky, like, I don't know, maybe some aurora, well, now would be a great time. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the glancing blow from that solar storm that's headed towards Earth, but could likely go mostly south of Earth. But at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting minor storm conditions with up to about a 65% chance of a major storm. And if you notice, there's a little bit of activity all throughout the week. And this is due to the fact that we've got some fast solar wind that's beginning to hit now, and we're going to have that solar storm hit, and then after that, we're going to get another pocket of fast solar wind kind of as a chaser. So we could have some decent opportunity for aurora at high latitudes easily through most of this week. So enjoy. Now, mid-latitudes, the story isn't quite so rosy. We are getting a little bit of disturbance from that fast solar wind up front now, so there's a tiny chance for aurora at mid-latitudes. But then when that solar storm ends up grazing Earth right around the third, we could jump to active conditions with up to about a 25% chance of a minor storm. And then we should settle down just a little bit slowly because we'll have that fast wind chaser as well. But the wind shouldn't be all that fast, so we do get maybe some sporadic chances of aurora at mid-latitudes. Nothing like what we'd have it at high latitudes. So only dedicated aurora chasers at mid-latitude should you bother, because I don't want you to get too disappointed when things may not be quite as strong as you would hope them to be. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, believe it or not, over the past 24 hours, we've actually seen a little bit of complexity emerge in some of these bright regions. In fact, region 2900 is showing a little bit of chance for big flare activity, and we've had a couple new regions emerge on the Earth-facing disk. So NOAA has upped the big flare risk. We've got about now a 5% chance of M-class flares over the next few days, mainly due to region 2900, but it looks like regions 2902 and 2903 might also provide a little bit of flare risk here as the days wear on. The nice thing, though, is that all these new regions are allowing the solar flux to maintain itself in the low 90s. We are still in the almost good range for radio propagation on Earth's day side. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, enjoy this. It's easily going to last throughout this week. Now, also, because we are still climbing out of solar minimum, we are still getting a bit more cosmic ray flux than we'd like. So you frequent flyers, and this does include aircrew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes. You are in the moderate range for radiation dose. This is the D2 minor range, and it does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is definitely keeping us on our toes. We have a solar storm that looks like it's coming toward Earth, but maybe it's going to go south of us and just give us a grazing passage. But it seems to be kind of sandwiched between fast solar wind both before it and after it. So aurora photographers, if you're at high latitudes, you could definitely get a little bit of a show, kind of a low boiling disturbance throughout the rest of this week. Whereas at mid-latitude, if you're, aurora photographer, perhaps you should chase only if you're dedicated, because aurora will likely be fleeting and sporadic. But we could get the most intense show if there's going to be one sometime around the third. Now, amateur radio operators and emergency responders, hey, the news isn't quite so bad for you. We only have a small M-flare risk, so the risk for radio blackouts is pretty mild, but we are managing to stay in that marginal range for radio propagation, almost into the good range, because solar flux is maintaining itself in the low 90s, and that's going to easily continue with all these new bright regions beginning to emerge, so enjoy. And now, you GPS users, well, we've only got that grazing solar storm passage, and we don't seem to have a lot of disturbance, so as long as you stay away from the dawn dusk terminators and away from aurora on Earth's night side, your GPS reception should be pretty good. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for listening.